Good afternoon, America, and welcome to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you for being on board. We are happy to have you. What a great day to be alive. It is. It's not only a great day, it's a great time to be alive. It just feels like there's a fight for freedom afoot. And I don't know about you, but I love it. I love the time that we're living in. And I enjoy the fight for freedom. I really do. There, you know, speaking of the fight for freedom, we have a lot to cover today, but I want to get into a history class at some point, because today is the anniversary of the Alamo, and it's what a great story. Talk about fighting for freedom. The Alamo, and again, while at the time Texas wasn't part of America, there were American citizens in Texas defending it, fighting against tyranny, fighting against an evil tyranny that would that was hell-bent on just conquering, on ruling, on destroying, because that's what tyranny is hell-bent on doing. It wants to conquer, wants to destroy, it wants to ruin. That is the purpose of tyranny, to conquer, destroy, and ruin, and to give those in charge, the tyrannical ones, to give them all the power, all the leisure, all the luxury, all the stuff, all the whatever. It's just not in the nature of Americans to roll over. It never has been. My friends, it never has been, and it never will be. It never will be in our nature just to say, oh, okay, here, you want complete power? You want, you know, go ahead and take it. It's yours. There are some fantastic pieces, by the way. This reminds me. There are some fantastic pieces at AmericaOutLoud.news. The site has got fantastic authors, fantastic hosts. I'm happy to be a part of the network, but there are some wonderful pieces. Paul Engel has a piece on there entitled "States Can't Kick Trump Off the Ballot, But Congress Can. Did SCOTUS Get It Right?" And he has a very interesting take on this recent ruling. It was a shutout ruling for Trump, by the way, 9-0. But the SCOTUS viewpoint of Section 5, I encourage you, get on the site, read Paul Engel's piece. Dr. Steve LaTulip has a fantastic piece called "Supreme Court: Trump Stays on Ballot and What It Means." It is interesting. There are things to be learned. And I encourage you to explore the site. Look at the articles there. We are not a people who is used to just rolling over. We're not. We're a people who we love education. And there is education at AmericaOutLoud.news. There are some brilliant authors, brilliant speakers and writers, and people of some deep intelligence on the site, on the network, that are educating. I love it. I love being a part of it. I love being a part of the fight for freedom, and I love being a part of education. This, my friends, hits what's going to save the day, is a properly educated public. We know what our founding fathers felt about education. We knew that. I don't have Sam Adams' quote in front of me, and it's such a good one, but he talks about education being the one thing that will keep a people from being enslaved. And Sam Adams was opposed, vehemently opposed to slavery. And he believed in the prosperity of education. He understood it. I am reading again Up From Slavery, Booker T. Washington. If you've not read Up From Slavery, if you've not, I encourage you to read it. Yeah, it's a small, quick little read. You can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it anywhere. Find Up From Slavery. listening to Booker T. Washington talk about the thirst for education that Black people from the South were going through at the end of the war. They just thirsted and they longed for it. And he talking about, or as he talks about his own story and his travels to the Hampton Institute and what he went through to get there, and how he was on this carriage, and they show up at this inn, this tavern, and he's thinking, well, all right, everybody gets off, and this is just, where we're going to stay. But the white people at the tavern, regardless if he had money or not, they weren't letting him stay. He wasn't going to get a good night's sleep there. He wasn't going to have shelter. He wasn't going to have food. They just left him just to fend for himself. But Booker T. Washington said, this is a direct quote. He said, "I didn't have time to be bitter." And why didn't he have time to be bitter? Because he knew where he was headed. He was on his way to the Hampton Institute. And he knew he was going to receive an education. And he was so thirsty. He longed so deeply for that education. He said, "I didn't have time to be bitter. Didn't have time for it." He gets to Richmond, and he doesn't have time to be bitter. He's living under a bridge, and he finds a he, there this the ship is docking, and he gets a job helping unload the ship. And he does such fantastic work that the captain, or the person in charge, says, you can work for me as long as you want. I'll pay you because you're fantastic. You're unbelievable. One of the best workers I've ever seen." Booker says that later on, he's invited back to Virginia for a reception in his honor, by the way. And all he can think of was that little bridge that he lived under. He's there, but that's his focus, and he's remembering, this is where I came from. But he remembers it without any bitterness towards anybody or any race, because he just longed to better himself. And the beauty of America is he had the opportunity to better himself. Was it easy? No, it was not easy. Did he face obstacles? You better believe he faced obstacles. Obstacles that lesser men would have buckled under? Yep, you got it. This is the education that we're lacking today. This education that focuses on just the ability to achieve. You've got the ability, you've got the potential. In this country of freedom, it's laid out for you. Go after it, strive after it, achieve it. You can do it. Reading the stories of great men. Great men who overcame obstacles. Men like Frederick Douglass, men like Booker T. Washington. He tells this story. His name was Booker, and he did not have a last name, what they call a surname. And early on in the book, he says, "I went to school, and all the kids are being introduced by their first and last name. They all have two names." And he said, I only had Booker. That's what I was known as." And so it got close to me, and he said, "I realized that I was in a very unique position, that I was in a position to choose my name. I could take it from anybody that I wanted to take it from. I could create a name." He said, "Most kids are not in this position." And just his perspective, just to look at it like that, he could have been, "Woe is me. I'm just little Booker, and I don't even have a last name." And he could have been down in the dumps about it, like many of us would be today. But he said, "I had this advantage to choose my name." And when it got to him and the teacher said, he asked for his name, he said, "My name's Booker Washington." And he chose Washington because he wanted to have the name of somebody great. And he had the ability to take a name from somebody who was great And he chose George Washington. And so his name is Booker T. Washington. And that's what we know him by, because he just said, I wanted to have the name of somebody great. That, my friends, that's perspective. And just this thirst and longing for education. This is why I didn't mean to go to history class with Booker T. Washington, but I'm just taken by this longing and this desire to be educated. And I wish it was a longing that our young people had today. I do. I wish that they just had this thirst to know. In education, unfortunately, we've heard the phrase, and there's a lot of truth to it, that American education's been dumbed down. And I believe that's a true statement. I believe it has been dumbed down, and I believe it's been dumbed down on purpose, because the people in charge do not want an educated citizenry. They do not want an educated populace. They don't want people who have the ability to think for themselves. They want people who would rather just be told what to do, be on the government dole a little bit and just nod their head and say, okay, I'll do this. Tell me what to do. I don't want to have to think for myself. I don't want to have to fend for myself. I don't want to have to get out there and go after it on my own. You tell me what to do, and I'll do it. That's what the people in charge want. And that, my friends, that's a recipe to doomsville. Doomed. We're doomed. Doomed, I tell you. That's what this thing will end up in. If we don't want to think for ourselves, if we don't want to, if we just don't want to love education. And this was my conversation yesterday, as I began to talk about the surging growth of classical education throughout the country. We've spent a lot of time talking about the quiet mass exodus from public schools, and we've spent a lot of time talking about the growth that news articles have brought to our attention, the growth in homeschooling, the growth in charter schools. There is this segment of education that isn't really talked about in the news cycle, but it's classical. It's a classical education. I talk about it a lot because it's what I'm involved in. It's what we do here at Waterbrook. We believe wholeheartedly in the classical process. But yesterday I brought up this market analysis by Arcadia Education. And it's interesting. It really sheds a lot of light on the classical movement. Parents want their children educated. They want their children to have a true, rich, robust education. They want their kids taught things that are true. If your child, and I've said this a lot lately, and I'm going to say it over and over and over, but if your child is not being taught truth, your child is not being educated. If your child goes into the math class and they learn that 2 + 2 = 22, then they're being taught a lie and they're not being educated. You would say, my child's not educated. They don't know math. So I ask you, what is the difference if they go to a history class and they're not being taught truth? If they go to a history class and the premise of that class is the 1619 Project, and the teacher stands up there and says America was founded on slavery, and the Revolutionary War was fought to keep slavery alive and well. Would your child be receiving truth? No, they would not be receiving truth, and therefore they would not be receiving an education. So there are, I guess, I don't know, how can I say it? There's education being being delivered throughout the country that's not actual education because it's based on a lie. And this judge out of California, I love this man. I got to pull up his name again. I mean, I've spent a lot of time talking about him, and I've talked about him so much I forgot his name. He in this case at the regarding the Temecula Valley School District, where they said, we're going to ban critical race theory. We're not having it. No critical race theory is going to be taught in the Temecula Valley School District in California. And this teachers union sued the school board and said, how dare you not provide an education to our kids? The California State Constitution requires you provide an education. And by you banning critical race theory, you're not providing an education. And the judge, yeah, he laughed at it. I don't know if he actually laughed, but the judge said, there's no educational value in critical race theory. Those were his words. Matter of fact, he said, there's no legitimate educational learning that takes place. He said, there's no legitimate pedagogical learning that takes place. There's no legitimate value. He said, so no, I don't agree with your argument. The school board is doing exactly what the state of California Constitution requires them to do, and that's ban garbage. That's to ban junk education. You've heard the phrase junk science. This is junk education because it's based on a lie. Parents don't want that. Parents want truth. And this is one of the foundational tenets of a classical education. It's to pursue things that are true, things that are good, things that are beautiful. Well, you might ask, what's the true and the good and the beautiful? Well, look around. Answer that question yourself. What's true? 2 plus 2 is 4. That's true. Math that's taught correctly. That's good. Math that's viewed in the light of creation, that math is the language of the creator. That's beautiful. There are things that are true, good, and beautiful, which have not been taught in public schools for decades. And a classical education wants to revive these things, wants to just dive back into it. All right, I am up against it. I want to jump more into this on the other side of the break, which we will do. So let's pause here for a minute. You're listening to the Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel and be our very best. Our customers will tell you how our products have made a difference for them, from improving immune health, regulating hormone balance, supporting gut health, to soothing the skin, even reducing the appearance of wrinkles, fine lines, and cellulite, and providing targeted support for mind, mood, energy, and even our body's own production of collagen. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in becoming your best self and fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you for being on board with us here. You can find us here Monday through Friday at the 2 p.m. Eastern time slot. Of course, you can listen at AmericaOutLoud.news on the world-class media player, or you can download the app. That's my favorite way to listen. The app you can download for your iPhone, your Android, or your Alexa, or you can listen on iHeartRadio or in the podcast network. You can find us on the Apple Network, Spotify. Of course, all of our podcasts are here at AmericaOutLoud.news. You can just go through and scroll down. You can find every show. It's all here for you, and we're thankful for this audience. This is a well-educated listening audience. Now, of course you're well-educated because, you know, the people on the platform are well-educated. The individuals on the America Out Loud platform, all of them, every host, every author, every writer, they're educated. And they're full of passion, and they're full of passion for this country, passion for freedom, and passion for education. I think every single one of them. I think what unites us, what unites the various authors and speakers on this platform, I think it's our love for education. It doesn't matter what field they're in. Their objective is to educate. I mean, if you listen to Dr. McCullough, you are educated. You listen to the interviews that Malcolm does, you're educated. But by the time it's over, you're like, I didn't know that. And that was powerful. Viewpoint this Sunday last week was, I'm listening. And he's got excellent guests on there. And I just, I'm taking notes. And you cannot listen to Dr. Henry Ely without learning something. You can't. Matter of fact, when you listen to Dr. Ely, you almost have to go back and re-listen. I've had to go back to his podcast, and I've had to listen to him 3 or 4 times because I just want to absorb it. I just want to take it in. I have sat in on his through the Energetic Health Institute, Dr. Ely takes students through cleanses, and I've gone through a couple of them. And the wealth of information he provides you with, holy cow! I encourage you this isn't audience, I believe, that loves education. That's why you listen. And there is a wealth of information that's at your fingertips at AmericaOutLoud.news. So, you know, dive into it. Go after it. I don't know if you can hear it, but I think my voice is improving. I think I'm on the mend. I mean, I've been on the mend for a long time, but you know, it just kind of lingers. And for me, it lingers in my throat a little bit. But I continue to sing the praises of Cofix RX. I had, you know, the throat and nasal spray. It has bailed me out this entire school season. I don't know where I'd be without it. I'm grateful for it. It is definitely a part of my regimen, and it can be a part of your regimen as well. You use coupon code OUTLOUD, and you'll get 20% off when you're at AmericaOutLoud.shop. Explore the shop, go through it. And when you buy the throat and nasal spray, Cofix RX OUTLOUD, you'll get 20% off. I love it. I just, there's a lot to be thankful for here, and not just at America Out Loud, not just at the network. There's just a lot to be thankful for throughout the country. I'm thankful that there is a movement of leaders and educators who want to revive a classical education. And it's been going on for a few decades now, and I'm grateful for it. I'm personally grateful to be a part of it. I'm grateful to be able to provide a place where students can come and be classically educated, that they can come and learn just things that are true, that they can just pursue truth, pursue goodness, pursue beauty. And other parents like me and like us are discovering this. And so this market analysis that I got into a little bit yesterday by Arcadia Education, they just completed this a couple of weeks ago. And this was for the classical school enrollment for this current year, 23-24. They estimate to be at over 677,500 students. And they make note that this is a conservative number. And the reason is because there's probably many more homeschool students that are classically educated that we just don't have record for. And I think that's fair to say. They, in this market research, they break up classical schools into four categories. There are homeschools and homeschool co-ops that are classically educated. There are classical evangelical Christian schools like my own. There are classical public charter schools like the schools that Hillsdale is involved in. And then there's Catholic classical schools, right? So you've got these four categories of classical schools. And so they at least know this hard number of 677,500, but it's probably more. Matter of fact, I would say, yeah, it's more. And the article goes on to describe that between 2019 and 2023, there were 264 new classical schools started. I mean, that's and it's quiet. You don't hear anything about it. 264 throughout the country. That's a good number. It takes some effort to start a school. I know, I've done it. It takes some effort. When you have 264 classical schools, 19, 21, over a four or five year period, with an average growth rate of almost 5% of new schools per year, those are good numbers. That these growth rates, the research goes on to say that these growth rates only include data from the three largest umbrella organizations of classical Christian schools. And they are the Association of Classical Christian Schools, which I'm a part of, the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education, and the Society for Classical Learning, which I'm also a part of. The trend of parents looking for new school options has not slowed down. This is what the market research has discovered. It's not slowed down. And my friends, it's not going to slow down. The more we get into this decade, and the more the left and the progressive Marxists force their ideology down the throats of Americans, and the more they force their agenda onto students, the more and more and more parents are going to be looking for other options. As of January 2024, a parent survey showed that 72% of parents have considered a new school. My friends, did you hear that number? 72% of parents. That's almost three quarters of the entire country. They are considering a new school. That number alone is huge. That's massive. That tells me one thing. That tells me that the eyes of parents are open. I don't even know that I can say anymore that eyes are opening. They're open. When you have three quarters of the country, I don't know that you're ever going to have 100% at anything. So when you have three quarters, almost 75%, all right, 72% was the number. That's massive. Eyes are open. parents are awake. They see what's happening and they're tired of it. And they are in the process of making plans to try to figure this out. When you've got 72% that are considering a new school, they're sitting down at the kitchen table and they're thinking, okay, how can we make this work? Maybe both parents are working. And maybe because they're both working, they can afford to pay for a classical Christian school or a classical school somewhere. Or maybe only one of them is working and maybe they can handle homeschooling. They're sitting down, my friends, and they're trying to figure this out. Maybe you're one of them. You might be one of the parents I'm talking about who is seated at the kitchen table today and asking yourself this question: how can I make this work? How can I figure this out? How can I get my child in a school that's going to provide an actual education, not a lie? Because we know that there's no educational value in a lie. We know there's no pedagogical value in 2 plus 2 is 22. We know that. That has been determined. And so now we have parents all over the country that are considering it. They're putting some thought to it. They're trying to figure out how they can make it happen. Listen to the next stat. 63% have searched for a new school. Almost two-thirds. They're not just at the table considering it. They've gone on the hunt and they've started searching. Oh man, that number, that is so encouraging to me. I'm so happy about this. I don't even know what to do. I'm that happy. Dean, why are you so happy? Because it means that there's hope for the future. Do you see this? Do you understand? There is hope because eyes are awake. Eyes are awake about education. Parents are seeing, oh yeah, we know what's going on here. We're getting it. We're seeing the truth of the thing. We know what they're trying to hide from us. We're not happy about it. We know they're making the attempt to take away our parental rights. In some cases, where is this article here? Let me find it. Sometimes I just get going and I know that there's this article that I've stumbled upon, but now I'm like, oh, where is it? What did I do with it? I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here searching for it, but they're drat. But now I've got it in my head and now I've got to find it no matter what. Oh, here it is. Oh no, that's not it either. I don't know what I did with it. I've got this article somewhere where Indiana, I think it was Indiana, and they were, they're looking at passing this bill to make it so if a parent does not affirm a child's gender, that they can call it child abuse. Yeah, and we saw this over the past summer try to be passed in Florida. So I guess this is my point, that eyes are awake. Parents see what's happening and they understand, what, really? You're gonna say I'm abusing my child just because I don't want to affirm their gender? Oh, here it is. I found it. My brilliant mind pulls it up. Here, the article is entitled Rank Misdirection. Indiana justifies taking child from parents who won't use preferred pronouns. All right. If Supreme Court doesn't rebuke Indiana, all child welfare cases will become unreviewable when the child turns 18. Parents of gender-confused child who's now an adult warn Oregon's gender-affirming adoption rules under review as well. So you've got this movement here. It's a movement of evil, and the eyes of parents are open to it. We get it. We see it. We know what's happening. We understand it's a movement of evil. And that's why 72% of parents are sitting down at the kitchen table considering a new school. And that's why 63% of parents have actually gone out feet to the pavement and searched for a new school. All right, here's the next stat. 44% have chosen a new school for their children. 44%. 44% they've said, yep, we're doing it. That's it. We're going after it. Almost half. All right, so three quarters are considering it. Two thirds are actually searching, and almost half have actually gone after it. And if the past few years are any indication, many more will be receiving a classical education in the coming years. Many more students. Because when parents now have choices and they see the choices laid out before them and they realize what is being offered to their child in a classical education, holy smokes, it's hands down. There's no competition. Zero. This is why I've got, charter schools in the state of Michigan calling me saying, hey, would you, you know, we want to convert to a classical school. Would you consider coming on board and spearheading this transition? I'm like, I don't have time. I'll help you in any way I can. I don't have time to get on board your ship and do the steering myself, though. I mean, if somebody else, if I can tell somebody how to steer it, I will. But I've got my own ship to steer over here. But it's happening. People realize the value in a classical education. People that lead schools realize the value and they want to make the switch. Parents that are searching understand the value and they want to make the switch. These numbers, I'm telling you what, they're beautiful. They're just, oh man, this is exciting news. To me, it's exciting news because I know we're awake. And the more we're awake, the more we're going to awaken those next to us. We're going to nudge the people next to us. I mean, just do that right now. Now, whoever's sitting next to you, give them the sharp elbow and just say, let's go wake people up. This is why I say constantly, we've got to speak our values. I'm not suggesting that we, shove things down people's throats. I'm just suggesting that we speak our values, that we make our values known, that we make our voices heard. The next holiday dinner you're at, just talk about values. That's it. You don't have to talk about politics. Talk about values. It's a beautiful conversation to have. All right. We're up against the break. We're gonna pick up these beautiful numbers on the other side and maybe a history class. You're listening to The Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
George Washington once encouraged us to animate and encourage each other and show the whole world that a free man contending for liberty on his own ground is superior to any slavish mercenary on earth. That's exactly what we do, as you'll see when you visit AmericaOutLoud.news. Now is our time. My fellow Americans, America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Welcome back to The Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. Now, we're talking about the fact that America is in the throes of a classical school revival, a classical education revival. renewal. That's what we're in. The classical movement has been, well, it's been on the move since, I'd say, the 80s and 90s. But right now, we are in a full-blown renewal. The growth that is that we're seeing is, it's explosive. Parents want something more. They want something different. As I said earlier, as we started today's show in the first segment, we are a people that just, we're not going to roll over. When things come against us, when we realize what's happening, we're just not going to roll over. We're a forgiving lot. We are. We don't want to, I don't think we want to instigate things. I think we want to live and let live. I think generally as a people, as a country, we just want to go about our business and enjoy our freedoms. We talked about this a couple of days ago when we were celebrating in history class the anniversary of the Gadsden flag. The coiled rattlesnake with the phrase, "Don't tread on me." And I talked about what Benjamin Franklin felt about the flag. He noticed it on one of the ships, and he liked the fact that it was a snake, because Franklin commented, you know, a couple things about the rattlesnake. Number one, it's lidless. The eyes are lidless. It's always, you know, it's always ever alert. Number two, the rattlesnake, Franklin said, is not a creature that's aggressive. It's not going to start the fight. It'll defend itself when provoked, and it will defend itself to either victory or death. And he loved that about the rattlesnake, and he thought this would be the perfect animal. You know, he liked the rattlesnake on the flag because he liked the attributes of it. Now, a lot of people, they don't like snakes. Snake, that was in the Garden of Eden, and snakes, yeah, blah, 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 whatever. It's one of God's creatures, my friends. And the rattlesnake has these attributes about it. And that's, I think, one of the reasons they put it on, that Mr. Gadsden put it on his flag. And that's who Americans are. If you provoke us enough and enough and enough, then, you know, the Japanese emperor discovered this when they dropped the bombs on Pearl Harbor. And it's noted that he made the statement to the effect of, you know, we've just awakened a sleeping giant. I fear we've made a mistake. What have we done? You poke us long enough and we're going to enter the war. You know, we're going to enter World War I and we're going to save the day, and we're going to kick your hiney. We're going to enter World War II. We're going to save the day, and we're going to kick your hiney. I mean, that's just, that's who we are. Now, I think there are elements of our government that have been imperialistic, not from the standpoint that they've taken over geographical landmass, but you know, I think there are parts of our government leaders that have been in charge that have been evil, and I don't think every war has been, you know, for the sake of humanity. I'm not that naive. But at the same time, I think as a country, I'm talking about the people and the heart of the people. If you push us long enough, we're going to defend our families. We're going to defend our territory, and it's going to be victory or death. And this is what we discovered at the Alamo. Today, my friends, is the anniversary of the Alamo. And I just want to dive into history class for a minute. That's all, just for a few seconds, because it's so fitting. All right, I'm going to revisit the American Patriots Almanac, which I love to do. William J. Bennett says, "Storm winds of tyranny blew across Texas in early 1836. In those days, the region was a part of Mexico, where General Santa Anna had seized power and made himself dictator, a tyrannical, and that's not what Americans like. Texans weren't willing to submit to his rule. So Santa Anna marched north with an army. Again, at this time, Texans are Texans. They're not even part of America yet. But many American citizens went to Texas to help them fight, because we see an injustice, and we're like, okay, I mean, you want some help defending your place, your location? We got you. Here we come. The Mexican army, oh, I'm sorry, in San Antonio, a small band gathered to make their stand at the Alamo, an old Spanish mission turned into a fort. They were tough characters, men who had settled a wild frontier. With them was the famous Davy Crockett from Tennessee. The Mexican army arrived and demanded the Alamo's surrender. "Your complete surrender now, sirs." The Texans answered with a cannon shot. "Here's our surrender. Boom." You know, what do you think of that? What do you think of that, General Santa Anna? How does that surrender taste? Santa Anna ordered a red flag raised. It was a signal meaning we will take no prisoners. That's what I think of your cannon shot. All right, I see your cannon shot and I raise you one red flag. Colonel William Travis, commander of the Alamo, dispatched messengers bearing appeals for reinforcements. Here's what he said. "Our flag still waves proudly from the walls. I shall never surrender nor retreat. Victory or death." It's in our blood, friends. It is. It's who we are. Victory or death. Only 32 men made their way through the enemy lines to join the Texans at the Alamo. That brought the number of defenders to about 189. Yeah, there's 189 of us. Let's go. We can take them. Santa Anna armies swelled to probably 5,000. 5,000 men, well-trained men, versus 189 Texans and Americans. I mean, the odds aren't good. Legend says that Travis called his men together, drew a line in the dust with his sword, and announced that those who wanted to stay and fight should step over the line. And then legend says every man stepped over the line except one. Except one. They all said, we're with you. And yeah, we believe in victory or death. We are fighting this thing to the end. The attack came early the next morning on March 6th, 1836. For a while, the Texans managed to hold the Mexican army back, but soon Santa Anna's soldiers swarmed over the walls. All of the Alamo's defenders were killed. The Texans weren't finished, however. On April 21st, six, 7 weeks later, troops commanded by Sam Houston attacked and broke Santa Anna's army. Their battle cry was simply this: "Remember the Alamo." Oh, I love it. That was their battle cry, a cry that still reminds Americans of unyielding courage, sacrifice for freedom. Remember the Alamo. Victory or death. That's what they said at the Alamo. And we remember it. We remember it today. We remember it always. It's in our nature. It's in our DNA to, when pushed, to shout victory or death. I mean, okay, we're going after it. It's what we did in 1776. Clearly, it's what we did in 1836. And it's still in our nature today. And parents all over the country, close to 72% are saying that same thing at the kitchen table today. They're saying that same thing, only it's in regard to their children. It's in regard to the future of their children. And they're not going to roll over. And you might be one of them. You might be one of those parents. You might be a mom or a dad today who's sitting at the kitchen table considering what you need to do, where you need to put your child. And I'm encouraging you today to find yourself a classical school. If you can find a classical Christian education, that would be my first choice. If you can homeschool your child classically, go after it. If you don't know where to turn, if you need resources, please reach out to me. All right. I will respond to you. I will respond to you and I will help you along. I will provide you with resources. I'll do it. I'm telling you, I've had people email me and they've said, what can we do? And I have responded. I'm true to my word. And I'll do it for you because there is hope. There's hope. We see hope on the horizon. And if you're not sure where to go or where to turn, or even how to find a classical school, or even how to begin to homeschool your child classically, I will give you help. I will plug you in with resources and direction, and I'll help you along. You can, if you go to AmericaOutloud.news and you go to my page, my name is Dean Bowen. This show is called The Dean's List. You go to my page, you can contact me there on the page. You can email me directly at thedean.list@protonmail.com. And I'll help you along. And maybe you're part of the 63% that's actually searched. Congratulations to you. Maybe you're part of the 44% that's actually made the move and you found yourself a different school. Congratulations to you. You're making the right decision. This market research that Arcadia Education did, they're forecasting that by 2035, so in the next decade, almost 1.5 million K-12 students will be enrolled in a classical school. Almost 1.5 million. That's an increase of almost 1 million kids. That would translate to almost a 2.5% of all K-12 students nationwide. Within the forecast, the largest subset would be over 522,000 students receiving a classical education through a homeschool op, online, or micro school in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Those numbers are fantastic. They're projecting classical Christian schools to increase their total enrollment of over 300,000 students. I believe that's probably a low estimate. They're predicting the classical charter schools to increase by almost 150,000. And they're forecasting the Catholic schools to increase. They're actually predicting here in this report almost 150,000 students they're predicting will attend a new classical Christian school that's not even opened yet, because the number of classical Christian schools that are opening is just it's phenomenal. It's going to start happening all over the country, friends. So if you live in an area and you're looking for a classical Christian school and there isn't one, keep looking, because they're going to sprout up. Or maybe you're part of the startup. Maybe you're part of the group that needs to get the ball going. It just might be the case. It just might be the case. You might feel that tug. The report says that the classical education enrollment surge, they compare it to the charter school enrollment surge that took place between 2000 and 2020. There was a 20-year charter school explosion, where charter schools increased from just under 2,000 to almost 8,000 in that time period, in that 20 years, with enrollment of just under 500,000 to almost 4 million students in that 20-year period. So the market analysis here is comparing the classical education movement to that charter school movement over 20 years. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how strong the classical surge is. I believe it's going to be very strong. I believe it'll surpass the strength of the charter movement. And here's why I believe that, because charter schools, you know, while they provided something different than the traditional public schools, it's not that much different. A charter school is still a public school. Unless it's a classical charter school, chances are the curriculum is still, it's still what it is in a traditional public school. Unless that charter school has classical on its name, then you're probably not getting anything much different. And those schools just exploded in that 20-year period from 2000 to 2020. So think about the classical explosion that we're going to see with the understanding of the depth of the education that the classical school provides. The depth of that education is rich, my friends. It is rich and deep. And it's also deep and wide, and parents are going to see it more and more and more as eyes continue to open, and they're opening to what is happening in the public school realm. But I don't think a lot of parents understand the beauty and the richness and the depthness of a classical education. Once parents' eyes begin to open to that more and more and more and more and more, then we're going to see the classical educational movement only explode to greater depths. That's my prediction. And we're going to keep an eye on my prediction. I think I've nailed it, my friends. I don't claim to be a prophet, but I think my prediction is spot on. I think once parents realize the beauty of a classical education, then they're going to make the move. Those 72% that are considering it, they're going to make the move. The 60, whatever, 63, 64% that are actually searching, they're going to make the move. I just don't see any other way around it, because a classical education is, in my opinion, it's the route to take. All right, we're going to keep talking about a classical education here, because as far as I'm concerned, that is the hope. That is the hope that'll save the country. All right, that's all the time we have for today, America. Thank you for joining me. Encourage your friends and family to get on the Dean's List. Let's unite to renovate the age.